For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
When we got a chance to do the worship thing, it wasn't that awesome? That's just... It's one thing to come to church, but when you go to church and you get to have church, you're like, oh, it is really good. I think a couple things about church. I don't think church should ever be boring, and I don't think church should ever, like, be not spiritual. I think we need to leave with a touch from God and having a good time. That's it, man. That's my core values. When I was youth pastor here several years ago, one of the questions that was on my application was, what would you do if you walked in and the teenagers were having a burp contest? I go, wow, that's not even fair. I would totally join in. I would win that contest, and then I would turn it around and talk about something spiritual. That's just what I said. I don't know if that got me the job or not, but that was my honest answer. And they must have liked it because I was a youth pastor here for a long time, and Pastor Ron still lets me come back. Isn't that cool? So I like it. All right. So, I love our new coffee bar out there. That was awesome. How many of you guys went out to the fair, saw our booth at the fair? Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know what? Before we get too far into this, do you guys remember last time I was here, I got through, I think, maybe like half a verse. You guys remember this? And God was just using it. I want to summarize that by just saying that you are special. God loves you so much. God is the King of Kings, right? If He is the King of Kings, what does that make you? Princes and princesses. You need to act like it, right? You need to act like it. You need to grab that and go with it, okay? We'll talk a little bit about humility tonight. We'll talk about some other things. But I had an amazing day getting here. I met some people. I invited some people to watch us online. So I want to say hi to our online audience. And from wherever you are at, we always have multiple states watching us, but I talked to some people, and I want to give a shout out to my buddy Chad. Chad is not watching us, he's listening. Chad is blind, he was blind from birth, and he had this cool little cane that all folded up, and I thought at first when I met him, he was a Jedi, because he looked like he had his lightsaber with him. So, Chad, if you're watching, bro, I dig you. And then I met, doing some retail work, I met Sarah, Unique, and Ashley. And so thank you guys that are coming. I don't think Sarah's part of our church yet, but I think she's watching tonight, and you know, we hope to meet you soon. So you just never know who you're gonna meet. And so thank you for letting me introduce Valley Bible to our special guests. And if you are watching for the first time, or if you're here for the first time, this is not normal as far as like our order of service, but it is normal in that we are freaks here at Valley Bible. We are freaks for Jesus, okay? So I shall not apologize for that. But I will say that, you know, it's just not normal. If you have your Bibles, we are going to turn to Ephesians, and we're just going to get right into it. We're at Ephesians chapter 1, and last time, the message was called, Just Who Do You Think You Are? And since we really didn't get into it that much, we're gonna work through a couple verses in Ephesians, and the title of the message is the same, Who Do You Think You Are? Okay, because it talks about our identity in Christ, and you need to know who you are in Christ. Later on this month, I believe it's the 22nd, I will be here on Sunday morning, so get ready and bring a friend, okay? Because we need people here, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about, because I kind of wish that after we got done with tonight, I wish it was the 22nd already, because I'm ready to preach this message, and it's called He, Me, We, and it talks about how all things, say all things, all things start with God. And when it starts with God and we get our identity in our dad, then we can understand better who we are. And when we understand better who we are, we can better be the church that God wants us to be. He, me, we. So get ready. Somebody, could you do that, man? Make up a rap or like some hand motions like he. All right. So that's, or anybody, I don't know. They're going to think, like, is he hula dancing or, like, having a stroke? I don't know. Okay. If you have your Bibles and you are already in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read a couple of verses and we will unpack them. Say unpack. And we're just going to camp out there a little bit and we're just going to let the Word of God speak to us. I hope you're ready, man. I hope you're ready for just a deep, deep word, man. You know, like a word from God could change. Think about a word. Think about a word from God. Say word.
Word.
A word from God spoke the universe into existence. Think about that. A word from God put nothing and changed nothing into something. If you have a word from God tonight, that could change your destiny forever. I hope you're ready for a word from God because God wants to give it to you. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Say will of God.
Will of God.
By the will of God. We're going to talk about that. To the saints. Say saints.
Saints.
Look at somebody next to you and say, you are a saint. Now, some of you guys said that and you thought you were lying because you rode the church with them. Okay, I get it. But we're going to talk about what it is to be a saint, and I'm going to have you call each other. I may even have you call yourself a saint, because saints aren't dead people that did two miracles and are canonized. Saints are the people of God in this room. All right. Somebody, some saint is clapping right about now. And you ain't got a statue that looks like you. To the saints who are in Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, somebody say grace.
Grace.
To you, and somebody say peace.
Peace.
From God our Father. There he is again, God our Father. Oh, you can say everything, man. That's good. Keep it going. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Somebody say blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed. Do you realize that if you woke up this morning and flushed your toilet, you are blessed? I'm for real. I was talking to a gentleman today. He was from South Sudan. And I had a friend that did a documentary about South Sudan, so we were talking about that. And I said, so when he made this documentary, he talked about a girl named Rue that had to walk 5 to 10 miles a day to get water. He goes, ha, ha, ha. He starts laughing. I said, whoa. He goes, we walk 20 miles a day to get water. He goes, we do that every day. He goes, well, we didn't do it. My mom did it. He goes, the women have to do that. They have to get water 20 miles a day, get back, and then they have to boil it. Then they can take care of their things that they got to do today. I have a friend that goes to real poor parts of the world, and he said his number one question he gets asked is it true that Americans flush their toilet with drinking water? Ladies and gentlemen, if you woke up today and flush your toilet, you are blessed. You are blessed. If you went by a drinking fountain to drink water, you're blessed. If you had water to wash your dishes with, you're blessed. You see, sometimes we look at what we don't have. I don't have a Maserati, poor me. You got water to flush your duties. Amen. Man, I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't lack food. Do you hear what I'm saying? But yet there are people that lack food in our country, in our world. Even in our own county, I know there are undernourished students that go to schools. I'm just trying to say we are blessed beyond blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, man, we have a building that has heating and air conditioning. We can bring our friends and sit in a comfortable chair. We can grab a batch of fresh pour-over coffee. You know what I'm saying? We're blessed. And we need to be concerned more with the blessings and thankful for the blessings that God has given us and the things that we do have than the things that we don't have. Because we are blessed. Somebody got really excited. They went, woo, we are blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Verse number one, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul went from worst to first. Paul got knocked on his backside by the power of God, and he stayed down. He was blinded. He was like, you know, he had no options. And in his darkness, in his ability to not see, God spoke to him, and God called him. I'm just glad that Paul responded to God's calling. You see, we have choices. We have choices. In fact, I'm gonna just spring this on you. I'm gonna go straight to Acts 9. I wanna talk about Paul's conversion here. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. I don't think I gave them the scriptures, and I apologize. But Acts 9, I'm gonna read the story of Paul and how, read the story of Saul and how he became Paul, because I wanna talk about our choices real quick. And I didn't know if I was gonna do this, but I'm going to. Acts 9, verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing threats as he was traveling. Our tech guys are amazing. They even got verses that I didn't think I gave them. They are awesome. So you guys deserve like whatever you deserve. Whatever I'm personally paying you, I'm doubling it, okay? Now Saul, still breathing threats, I'm going to skip around through the first couple chapters here, and then verse 3, as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Verse 4, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? At least he acknowledged that there was a higher power here, right? Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. Skipping down to verse 10. So Saul had a choice to obey God. Do you guys remember in the BC days before you were a Christian, before you knew Christ, and you heard things in your gut and you didn't understand it? You're like, I don't think I'm supposed to be doing this. I don't feel like I'm supposed to have this relationship, but I don't. It was before you were saved, so you didn't understand, but you still had premonitions of what was wrong and what was right. Anybody? You guys see? Yeah. And that's God talking to you. That's God broadcasting to you. You should be better. You are my son. You are my daughter. You deserve more than this. You can treat your girl better than this. You can act better than this. You're above stealing. You're above fornication. You're beyond sin. I've created you for a capacity for life and not for death. We hear those things even before we're saved, right? And so we have a choice somewhere that we can serve God. We have a choice to listen to that still, small voice. Even after we're saved, we have a choice that we can listen to the still, small voice of God. Or we can still drive like a maniac, cut people off, text and drive, yell at our kids, cheat on our taxes, cheat on our spouse. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can choose to listen. Son, you're created for more than that. But I don't have time. I got my earbuds in. I'm driving down the road. I'll do this. Man, not only do we make the choice for salvation, but we make the choice to become more godly or less godly multiple times a day. I unplugged at the beginning of this year, and I said, I'm just going to turn off the radio. I'm not going to listen to any music unless it's like worship music, whatever. I end up unplugging everything. I mean, I went silent, like completely, like nothing. And I'm a sports guy. I even turned off ESPN, man. I wouldn't know the Dodgers from the Broncos right now, okay? And it's kind of sad because I got a 9-year-old boy, and I'm like, I want him to like sports, you know? But like, it's been awesome to not have the noise and the clutter in my ears. Now I understand. I probably can't live like that, so I'm turning stuff back on. But man, I know how to turn it off too. Right? So I feel like if I learn nothing out of it, like man, I was literally like 9 months, like lockdown. But if I learned nothing else from my 9 months of lockdown, I learned where the off switch is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys are making me mad. Oh, the sweet, sweet sound of silence. And man, some of you cats better get into that silent mode if you don't ever have it. By the way, here is one of the best things you could do for your spirituality, for your walk, and for your health. Get up a little early in the morning and just spend some time with Jesus. Right there, right there. I personally believe that'll get you 5 years in life. I believe that'll lengthen your life right there. You know what I look forward to? Every day I get a text from this crazy guy right here. He sends me a scripture every day. So I can know some time of the day, and they're right on the money, bro. They're right on the money. Man, God is so good. So you know what? You guys can do crazy things like that, but it starts with unplugging, and it starts with making those small decisions. Saul said, I'm going to decide. I'm going to choose to say, yes, Lord. What is it? who are you? I don't know you, but I feel like you're going to do something. Here's another guy in this passage that has a choice. Verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision. I got to talk again about a vision. When do you have a vision? Usually dreams are dreamed when you're asleep. And visions are something that come maybe when you're not asleep. Okay? So dreams you don't really have a lot of control over unless you eat like greasy pepperoni pizza before you go to bed at night. You may have control that you're going to have some weird dreams about Martians. If you have a vision, sometimes we can control those visions, right? And we can be a part of the visions. And God spoke to him in a vision. Again, back to the off switch. Some of you guys, God has given you visions of awesome, of random acts of awesomeness that you need to do. One of our brothers goes out on the corner, the street corner, and just holds up signs and says, Jesus loves you. That's how easy is that, man? He's a rock star at night, and during the day, he's out at California Avenue, man, holding up a sign, Jesus loves you. Man, you could do that. What's it going to take to make a batch of cookies and put, Jesus loves you, pray over those cookies. Lord, let every calorie that's consumed by this person bring them closer to you. Amen. And you go out and give them to all your neighbors. Amen. Right? Yeah. What's wrong with that, man? Random acts of awesomeness that we can do just as we decide to follow the Lord. So, if you want a vision of random acts of awesomeness, maybe you better get in a place where God can give you a vision. Right? Stop yelling at your kids. Stop doing drive-through. Like, get up a little earlier in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Get a little extra sleep the night before. All right, we'll move on. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias! And he said, this is what any time God talks to you, here's exactly what you should say. Here I am, Lord. That's it. Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Ananias had a little pushback to God. So you know what? When God has a word for you, your first answer is, yes, Lord, here I am. Okay? And then he says something crazy like, I want you to go and preach the gospel to the people of Iraq. Okay? Then that's when you go, can we talk about this a little bit, Lord? Okay, the answer is yes. However, you know what I'm saying? So Ananias gave a little pushback here. Lord, I have heard from many about this man. Much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Fair, right? Before he was the Apostle Paul, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was a hater of Christians, like, you know, tormenting them, you know, maybe even killing them. Not a good dude. So obviously Ananias was going, oh God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. Stop. What if the most vile, heinous, evil person that you know could be the next evangelist to the nations? And there's only one thing separating that evil, wicked person from knowing Jesus, and it's you. Are you ready? Are you ready to put on the line? Are you ready to be used of God? He may not ask that crazy kind of thing of you at the beginning. He may ask you little things like, limit your phone time. You talk to your girlfriends a little too much. Your kids can't even get a word in with you. And you got to start with those little decisions and go, yes, Lord. Because I found out once we get those little things in order, God gives us big things. Even tithing, you know, even if you just start, you know, at 5%, man, and work up to 10, it's every little step forward that means something. And God sees every little thing that you do. And he knows every little sacrifice you make and every decision you make. And he sees you. He sees when you volunteer. He sees when you get up early in the morning. He sees when you want to kick the dog and you reach down and you scratch its ear instead. You hear what I'm saying? He is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. 16, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and went to the house, and after laying his hands on him, brother Saul, Ananias used his words to welcome him into the family right then and right there. Brother Saul, at that moment. There's some forgiveness that needs to take place in this house tonight. God has forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself. God has forgiven others. You need to forgive them too. And you need to accept that they are a brother or a sister in the body of Christ now. And by you holding something against them, you're giving the enemy a foothold into your life. And you are not allowing yourself to be used of God and blessed of God like you need to. When somebody is forgiven, they are forgiven. You need to say, brother. Maybe it's the hardest thing you've ever done, but you know what? You got to start there. God's not going to use you to go talk to a vile, evil maniac unless you can forgive your brother, aunt, uncle, next door neighbor. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to start right there with forgiveness. Brother Saul, you need to go to your brother. Brother, I forgive you right now. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He forgave him of his sins, and God honored that and forgave him of his sins. There's power in our tongue. Paul went from first to worst. Paul realized that up is really down. You want to get up in the kingdom of God? Get down on your knees. You want to serve God in the highest places? You serve God's people in the lowest places. When you approach God full, he will empty you. But when you approach God empty, he's going to fill you up. That's your tweetable moment right there. Send that out. You can call it your own. You don't have to give me credit, man. Just call it your own. Just send it on out. People think, ooh, they're good, because I stole that from somebody too. Paul, the apostle, by the will of God, he was called. He was called by the will of God. What is God's will? Who are you? You know, we spend a lot of time trying to find out who we are. I'm going to tell you right now who you are, because it doesn't start with you. It starts with him. Remember, he, me, we. I'm going to tell you who you are. You are a sinner. You are scum. You are deserving of nothing but a hotbed in hell. Okay, I'm just saying. I need to be there before you all, okay? You understand what I'm saying? I was there first. I'm a knucklehead. My Sunday school teacher is in this room. I think I saw her. Kathy, where you at? Kathy can vouch. It's right there in the back. This lady used to teach my Sunday school. And if anybody was a young little third grade knucklehead, it was Rod B. Jones. She can testify. I don't want to have you call my mama, because she could really testify. I love you, Mom. Thank you for praying for me, because God changes things. Amen. Amen. God has a special plan for your life. And he saw value in you enough to say, I want you. I want you in your sin. I want to get you out of your sin, because your sin is pulling you down. And it all starts with him. We're just a dirt clod, but God saw value in you, dirt clod. And you don't need to find out who you are until you find out who he is. And when you find out how good he is and how he loves you and how from the very beginning of time he had you on his mind, then you can go, I'm special. I don't feel like it. I know, because you know you're a dirt clod, but God sees value in you. And if you know who God is, then you're going to have a better understanding of who you are. And that's how you find out who you are, not by finding yourself, but by finding him. Come on now. Some of you guys are like, my psychology book doesn't say that. I don't care. Man, as soon as you find yourself and you're the middle of your universe, you live in a very sorry universe. But the minute you find God and you find your place in His universe, life is electric. Life is colorful. Life is loving. Life is joyous. Life is living. Life is life. And He came to give us life to the fullest. Now, I hope somebody's getting excited, man. Somebody needs to go, all this time, I was trying to find out who I am. I already told you who you are. You need to find out who He is. And then you'll find out that He says, you are my beloved child. I love you so much, I took a bullet for you. I can get excited about that, man. And the more we know that we are not worth it, the more we realize that He had to see something in us that's special, because not only does He save us out of our junk, but He says, I'm going to call you to be a preacher to the nations. I'm going to call you to be a Sunday school teacher. I'm going to call you to be a teacher, a lawyer, an attorney, a baker, and you're going to do it in my anointing, my way, for my kingdom. Man, it all makes sense when we realize we're not in the middle of our own universe, and we're only in this universe because God willed it by the will of the Father. He's not our heavenly best homie. He's our heavenly Father. Think about how offspring happens. It takes the will of a father. And the moment of intimacy and passion. And that's how God wants children to be born. Not 2 a.m. after a drunken bar crawl. God's will. Who are you? Who is Him? He forgives all past regrets, all forward sins. And then He calls us. In the same way that God called Saul and gave him a new name and a new identity, He has saved some of you guys, and you have yet to embrace your calling of God. God is calling you. He got your cell number. You're just not answering the phone because you're scared of what He might say. Do not be scared. When I sat back there, man, when I was in your place and I sat in the pew, I was scared to death to say yes to God 100%, because I knew as soon as I did, in a moment of weakness, the seventh grade, I was going to go, okay, God, I'll give you everything. Ha-ha! I thought God was going to go, ha-ha, you're going to Africa! Can I get a witness? Anybody? You hear it? Right? My generation, right? That was the scariest thing, man. If you said yes to God, He was going to send your mug to Africa, and you're going to have to go eat bugs the rest of your life. God, I want to do that. Hey, some of you crazy cats like Dr. Peter Nalos, He's going to send you to Africa, and you're going to go, it's about time. But some goofballs like me, He's like, I don't want you messing things up in Africa. Stay out of Africa. Man, somebody better take God off the block call list, because He wants to call and He wants to talk to you. And here's the deal. When He gives you your calling and you say yes to it, something's going to snap, something's going to break, and you're going to go, oh, that's what I always wanted to do. And then you're going to say, Pastor Rod, you're going to call me. God just called me, and I was scared of saying yes, but when I said yes, it's the ultimate thing I want to do. It's almost like He read my heart. And I'm going to say, ding dong. God says He's going to give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in Him. Yeah. Just remember that phrase right there. It's like, I told you so, and you ding-dong. You should have like embraced what God was calling you like 10 years ago. Right there. Got it. The Apostle Paul, called by the will of God, the Father. Saints, the faithful in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. I told you I was going to have you say that you are a saint. I need you to look at your neighbor and don't tell them that they are a saint. I want you to do this. I want you to say, I'm a saint. Come on, you're laughing, but I want you to do it. Was it hard to do? Was it hard? No, okay. He's laughing. How many of you guys laughed at the guy that said that to you? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. Now I want you to say that to them again. And this time I want them to respond to you and go, amen. Can we do that? Let's do that. Saint, one last thing. On three, I want you guys to shout out your name, but I want you to put saint in front of it. All right? Can we do that? So on three, I'm going to one, two, three, and you go, St. John. Okay?
St.
Emma. One, two, three.
I heard
not a one name, but I heard a lot of noise. I was hoping I'd hear something. I heard one, but I didn't. I didn't hear. But yes, for you guys, gold stars for everyone that did that. You're awesome. A plus, head of the class. The dictionary defines a saint as a person officially recognized for their holy life. To be canonized as a saint, a carefully examined life of character, conduct, and above reproach, two provable miracles, and probably be of Catholic faith. We do not find this authorized in the Bible. And I'm glad, because Paul intercalates faith and Christian and believer and called and all these things. He interchanges them around scriptures. He's writing to the church in Ephesus who were not dead, but they were alive. Although they once were dead in their sins, they were now alive. And they'd probably never performed any miracles, all right? But they were called disciples in Acts 1 and 9 and 10 and 25 and so on. They were called the people of the way and the people that were called saints. Saints literally means one who is set apart. It's related to the word sanctified. If you are a sanctified believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. So I'm going to tell you one more time, you are a saint. You're a saint, man. It sounds good besides, you know, saint, ancient name, you know, Saint Augustine. You know, I mean, that sounds cool, but like, what about Saint Jaime? I like that. Sounds good, right? Saint Hector. Ah, even better. All right. I want to just say a couple other things, and I want to close with a cool story. Let's read verse 2 and see how far we can get on that. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We already talked about the Father that God is to us. If God is your Father, if you are born of a woman, God is your Father. You get to choose whether you want to be a son or daughter of Christ, whether you want to be a child of God. That's your decision. Remember, we talked about these little choices that we make. And you can choose to just be a Christian and get fire insurance. At least that's what we used to call it, right? Fire insurance means I'm just going to say the sinner's prayer so I don't go to hell, okay? But I still want to go to bars. I still want to sleep around. I still want to do drugs. I still want to do stupid stuff. And you know what? Maybe you'll get to heaven. But you're going to get to heaven a lot sooner than me because you're going to live like the devil. You hear what I'm saying? You're either going to get shot from somebody's jealous boyfriend, right? You're going to overdose, or you're going to like pickle your liver. You hear what I'm saying? All right, so you could do that, man. You could just get fire insurance, and you could just say, I'm just going to say, dear Jesus, be my Savior, but not my Lord. And some could even argue with that and say, man, if he ain't your Lord, is he really your Savior? I don't know. I'm not going to really try and cause a theological discussion right now, but I'm just going to talk to you right now since I have you, because God wants you to experience life to the fullest, okay? And that is done God's way. Some of you guys need to stop trying to get the fullness of God your way because they're never going to happen. It only happens His way. Believe me, man. Yeah. Have you guys ever heard the acronym for Bible? It stands for Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. All right. How many of you guys ever bought an electronic component, and you were so excited to have it, and you just went straight to using it, and you didn't read the manual? Anybody? Okay. Keep your hand up if you've ever done that. Now, if you have not ever jacked up one of those electronic devices, put your hand down. See, there's a lot of hands still up. That means, now you can put your hands down now. That means that you knuckleheads like myself, I got both hands up, have went out in your arrogance and bought an electronic device. You went home thinking you know how to use it, and then you jacked that thing up and had to go buy a new one. Hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Right? Yeah, some of you guys are putting your hand back up. Okay. Mine's up too. That's kind of like our life. We need to realize that we don't know how to live our life by ourselves without instructions, without the manual, because if we did, we would not need salvation, right? That means you could just sin your way to heaven, and you cannot do that. Father God knows the way to do it. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me summarize this and then see if I can tell you this story at the end. You don't deserve anything. except for the, you know, the sin, the fruit of your sin. But Jesus saw something so special in each one of you. So special. And he just didn't see it today. He didn't just go, oh my gosh, look, I forgot how awesome she was. No. We'll see, and if I can ever make it through more than like two verses, we'll see in our text here that God, from the beginning of time, while he was making everything, I know I told you guys this 2 weeks ago, while he was making everything, you were on his mind. And he said, I know where she's going to live. I know he's going to break my heart 500 times, but I still see awesomeness in him. I still want to offer my son to die for his sins. And he may never even take that gift of salvation, but I still want to send my son to die because I think he is awesome. That's the case where we're at. Man, we cannot buy our way to heaven. We cannot earn our way to heaven. You cannot be gorgeous enough, talented enough, beautiful enough, or smell nice enough to make it to heaven. The only way you get to heaven is by accepting Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. That's it. No matter how worthy or unworthy you think you are to deserve this priceless, priceless gift, you have to humble yourself to receive it. God said, you are so valuable that I will do whatever it takes so that you can spend eternity with me. That's what it's really all about, is that God loves you so much that he says, this life that you're in right now, you maybe get 80, 90 years. But there is a thing on the other side of these 80 or 90, and it's called eternity. I don't want to spend eternity without you. What is that? You guys that have kids, you say the same thing. You guys that are happily married, you say the same thing. Baby, I don't want to go on living without you. Son, I will not have a life worth living without you in it. God says, I don't want to spend eternity without you. And that's how much he loves you. I heard a story about a guy that lived on a tropical island. His name was Johnny Lingo. Johnny Lingo was the coolest guy around. On this island, Johnny Lingo could catch any kind of fish. He knew where to dive for pearls. Put your materials up and just listen to this story and see if this doesn't just bear witness with you. Everybody loved Johnny Lingo. He was handsome. He was witty. He was the man's man. He knew how to hunt and fish and guide. He had a pretty good pile of money behind him. Every girl loved Johnny Lingo. As the story goes, a man went to go see Johnny Lingo and have him be a guide for one of his hunting trips, one of his fishing trips. And so he said, hey, Johnny Lingo, I want to hire you to be my guide. You're the guy. And he goes, but Johnny Lingo, I went asking around the village about you, and every time I would say your name, people would laugh. And I know that you're athletic and outgoing, and you're a hunter and a trapper, and you can do everything. You even have a good little, little bit of wealth accumulated, but yet everybody laughs whenever I say your name. He goes, did they laugh because I was silly? They said, no, everybody respected you. He said, did they laugh about my wife? And the guy says, well, you know, Johnny, I did hear that. I heard that you gave 8 cows for your wife. And Johnny said, I did give 8 cows for my wife. The guy says, well, Johnny, I haven't been on the island that long, but I know that you can get a good, solid wife for 2 cows. And you can get, I know, I'm not trying to be humorous right now, but that's really the way that they traded. So the fathers would go out and, you know, say, my daughter is a 3-cow, you know, wife to you or whatever. And he said, everybody thought you could probably get the best girl on all of our islands for 4 cows. But as much as a businessman you are and an entrepreneur, Johnny Lingo, we heard that you really got chiseled by your wife's father because he sold his daughter to you for not four cows, not five cows. No one's ever even paid five cows for a wife on this island, but you paid eight cows for your wife. He said, did everybody know that I paid eight cows for my wife? They said, yeah. He goes, I can't wait to meet your wife. He goes, what did they say about my wife? He said, well, I heard several people talk and they said she was just kind of normal. To say she was plain was probably a compliment. They say that you probably could have got her for three, maybe four cows. But if you really would have held out, you probably could have got her for three cows. But yet you paid eight. What kind of a bad judge of character are you, Johnny Lingo, that you paid eight cows for this wife that you could have got for three, maybe four? He said, did everybody in the village know that I paid eight cows for my wife? The guy goes, yeah, and they all thought they were laughing at you. They couldn't believe that you got taken to the cleaners by this guy. He goes, let me tell you why I paid eight cows for my wife. He said, when the women talk, they know that they're going to get bought by a certain number of cows. And they talk amongst themselves and they say, I went for this many cows, I went for this many cows. He said, I saw my wife and I fell in love with her. And I didn't care that she was kind of homely looking. I saw something in her that I really liked and I fell in love with her. And I could have got her for three cows or four cows. I might even have paid five cows and got a good deal. But he said, I wanted my wife to know that she was the only woman in these islands that was an eight cow wife. If you haven't connected the dots yet, God saw something in you. And he said, I'm going to buy whatever it takes. I'm going to pay whatever price it takes to get you because I have chosen you. I'll pay eight cows. I'll pay my son's priceless blood. I will pay whatever it takes to spend eternity with you, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We have our altar team coming forward. These people are trained and godly. And in an attitude of prayer, I just want to say, man, that you are loved. I'm going to do this different tonight. I really want God to move. I feel like I force the crowd sometimes, man. It's just because I know I want something spiritual to happen. But at any time during my prayer, if you want to get up and pray, you can do that. But I want to just say this. If you are struggling with your self-worth tonight, you need not struggle anymore. The only reason you have value is because Jesus said you have value. There may be even somebody here tonight struggling with suicide, with harmful thoughts. Those are not godly. And if that's you at any time, get up and come down and pray with our prayer counselors. But for you that say, I'm having trouble loving myself and accepting who I am. I've done so many bad things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many bad things you've done and for how many years. Jesus will forgive them all. And by you thinking that you have to hold out and do something worse for your sins, you're saying you can add something to the cross of Christ, which you cannot. You cannot add a thing. So you need to humble yourself and come down and pray with one of our prayer counselors. So sweet to see all these young people coming down. If you are struggling with your identity, give your identity up because you cannot know who you are until you know who He is. And if that's you, I need you to come down and pray with one of our prayer counselors. I'm gonna pray one more thing and then I'm gonna let you guys go. Father, there are some of us that have yet to answer the call that you have on our life. And Father, if there is somebody listening right now, maybe even in the internet audience, if you're listening and you feel like God is calling you to do something, you feel like He's calling you to ministry or calling you to take a step out in faith or calling you to do something, you need to step out. We have people on Facebook right now that are interacting with you. You can find us on social media if you're in the internet audience. You can find it. You can email us. You can tweet us. You can reach us any way possible. We would love to help and answer your questions. And for those of you that are in our live audience, if you have not yet embraced the call of God on your life, you've not said yes to the call of God, please come down and let one of our prayer people pray for you. I'm going to wait about 10 seconds, and then I'm going to dismiss us. So please, if we can pray with you in any way, please let us do that.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love.